in the Lord. Don't let anybody put you in their box. Spread your wings for Jesus. Learn how to work together as a body. Learn how to function as a body. Amen. There is an order that God has, even when we get together. Amen. But it is not one where you are put under control to the degree where you have been squashed. And you cannot learn how to fly. The purpose of church and these gatherings is to equip and to prepare for the work of the ministry. That you will learn to know who you are in Christ, that you might bear fruit for Him. Amen. You are His people. Amen. We are His sheep. I don't own you, and you don't own me. We are owned by the same Father. Amen. We're just brothers and sisters. So we got to be careful how we live, how we walk, and who we got our eyes on. Everything starts from a seed. Everything starts with a small beginning. And because the work of God has progressed to where it has, is because someone was willing to pay the price. Amen. To see the kingdom of God come and the advancement of His kingdom on the earth. Somebody had to pray. Somebody had to fast. Somebody had to pay the price of rejection even, so the gospel could go forth. Someone had to be despised and rejected of men for you and I to receive what we have today. And you and I are all called to take up our cross as well and to follow Him and keep our eyes on the Master and not on what others are doing. Because as soon as you start looking at man, you're going to quickly become discouraged and you'll fall into the same follies that they are in. Come on. Paul the Apostle, the great Paul Apostle, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Only that. Amen. It's very important that we surround ourselves with people who are positive, that are going to lift you up, that are going to build you up, that are going to encourage you in the Lord. Amen. And not tear you down and not gossip and not backbite. But people who are going to lift you up and encourage you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that to us? Amen. He's not against you. How many knew He wasn't against you? Even sometimes when we go through some stuff, we're often wondering, aren't we? Is God against me? What did I do to deserve this? The question is God, what are you getting ready to do in my life? I know something good is on its way. God's grace is sufficient. If you can get some batteries in that, Chuck, I know you didn't have the instruction manual or anything, but I'm just kidding. I appreciate it. I like having my hands free so I can flail and do all those charismatic things, you know. The angels of the Lord are with you. I got to get down to the food bank. Look around you today, and by the way, again, we welcome everybody. We're glad you came, and if you see there's some people missing today, pray for them. Amen. Don't judge them, just pray for them. Love on them. People are sick, people are out. Phil's got a bad knee, and he got gold teeth, but he's got a bad knee, so we'll pray for the knee too, right? I want to make mention too of the board back there. We are still collecting. There are lots of testimonies that need to go up there, so get your testimony written up. If you got a picture, that's great. Put it with your testimony. Just get it up there. Take a moment to read what God is doing in people's lives. I'm going to continue to talk to you about worship because this is what it's all about. We are worshipers of God. How many worshipers are in here this morning? Okay.
And of course, that does not mean that I came to church and sang some songs. That's not what we're talking about. The Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And how many know that not everything you need is here on the earth? Yeah. It amazes me, but a lot of Christians live as though everything they need is here on the earth. Not everything we need is here on the earth. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a cap right there or something. It's like a big visor or something. And it's all about what's going on in this realm. And consumed with my problems, consumed with my needs, consumed with what's broken, consumed with what I see. Anybody beside myself ever been there? I'm being honest with you. We all struggle at times with that. But we've got to take that off because there's an open heaven over us. There's no cap on us. We have a direct line to the Father through Jesus. Amen? By the blood of the Lamb, we can come in confidence. And you don't come to God because, now, Lord, look what I did. You come to God because He allowed you to. Because Jesus loved you enough to give Himself for you. So we have an open heaven. We have access to the very throne of God, our Almighty, our Father. And there are certainly only things that we can get from God Himself, from the Almighty God. Now, we know that God has created all things, right? He created all the natural things we see as well. But we're not to live just within that realm. We are living a dual life. We are heavenly citizens, and we're also citizens of the earth. However, our number one priority, our number one citizenship is in heaven. And so we are to live for that kingdom, live for the plans and the purposes of our Father who is in heaven, and we as His priesthood are to call in that which is eternal into the natural. The supernatural to invade the natural, heaven to invade earth. We do that by faith, in the promise that God has given us access through the blood of Jesus, amen, to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." We need to pray that. We need to pray it in. Our prayers are worship to God. Our giving is worship to God. Our thanksgiving to God and praise to God is worship. It's accepted. The Holy Spirit collects up those things and presents them to the Father. And it comes up before Him as a sweet fragrance, the prayers of the saints as incense. And there comes a time when the Father will release that. Amen. We are, if you will, seeding the clouds. We are what? Impregnating heaven with our worship. We're seeding heaven with our worship. And as we do that, it comes up before the Father and it gets His attention as a sweet fragrance. And the angels are on assignment to come and to minister to you and I who are heirs of salvation. He will release things. It will begin to rain, as the old song goes. The reason we could sing that old song, "It's beginning to rain," is because somebody is seeding heaven. Somebody is praying. Amen? Somebody is worshiping God. We must continue to press in. Press in to be worshipers of Him. As we offer worship to God, praise and thanksgiving and gratitude from the heart, giving our lives to His service, obedience to the will of God, the Word. As we yield ourselves to Him, this is worship. The Father accepts that. He smiles on that. And He returns it back in His time. That's why Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due time." That means what is due to you will come to you. That's what it really means. What's due you will come back to you. What you're sowing, eventually you're going to reap. So let us not be weary in sowing and well-doing. Psalms 46 and 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the dwelling of the Most High. Revelation 22 and 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. How many of you know that the Father is the fountain of living waters? He is the source of all life. And as we worship Him, our worship ascends before the throne. And the river seeks out the low places. It seeks out the humble heart who has positioned itself to give glory and honor to God and to receive what He has. He resists the proud, but He gives His grace to the humble. Amen. He gives His grace to those who have divorced themselves from the opinions of men that they might please God. How many want to live for His pleasure? Amen. I don't care what the Joneses are doing. I don't even care what's popular in the church today. If it's not of God, I don't want anything to do with it. I want to know what is popular with God. What is God doing right now? What does He want to accomplish? I want to align myself with His will and His purpose and pray and see the glory of the Son manifested, amen, in the natural. How many know your salvation is supernatural? Everything God does is supernatural. And we've been given the assignment as representatives of that government. Amen? To see His kingdom to come and His will to be done, that the river of God would flow into the riverbed, if you will, of our hearts. It flows into us and flows out of us, and it is to refresh, it is to encourage, it is to build, it is to allow a release of life through us that is going to touch others around us. Amen. And it all comes through worship. It all comes through worship, intimacy, living for His pleasure. And for Thy pleasure, they are created. How many know you're created for His pleasure? And if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Hallelujah. If you would turn real quickly in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 47. Most of us are very familiar with this, heard many sermons on this, but I want to touch on it this morning. I'm not going to expound on everything. I just want us to take a look at this, because how many of you know that in heaven there is actually a temple? That tabernacle that was erected here on the earth in the Temple of Solomon, you know how God gave instructions on how to build these things? They were copies of the heavenly. And so in heaven, amen, that is the real tabernacle. And the copies are here on the earth. And they are to show us the Lord. They are to reveal to us Him, Jesus Christ. Then He brought me back to the door of the temple. There's prophet Ezekiel and the vision he had. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. And in Revelation it says it's coming from the throne of God. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Now this is a... It goes on to say, if you read this in context, it's talking about a future time in Israel. There's actually going to be, and I know not everybody agrees with this, but if you study the scriptures, you'll see that God's promises to Abraham still stand. And Jesus is going to come, and He's going to reign over all the earth. And there's going to be a rebuilt temple. They're working on it right now. And out of this place is going to flow a river of life. And let's read about the river. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 2, He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Then when the man went out to the east, and with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Different measurements. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my... Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my... And then again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could not cross, that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Now listen, water in what in which one must swim. Ankle, knee, waist, and then water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. In other words, you're not going to just splash around in this river. When you get to that level, that river takes you. Amen? How many want to be in the deep end? You got people that are at different places, you know, and desire, or some people are just content to have an ankle length, you know, just to splash around in the ankle and some around the knees and the waist. But I don't know about you, but I want to go right into the deep end. I want the glory of God. Hallelujah. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, going down into the valley and enters the sea. And this is actually going to be a geographical location over there. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. But how many know that the earthly things, amen, are only shadows or types or patterns of the heavenly. So what we're seeing in the natural are just manifestations of what is invisible. You look around our world, you see evil. That's a manifestation of the invisible kingdom of darkness. You look around and you see the goodness. Amen? We know that's of God, right? All good gifts come down from the Father above. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every, verse 9, living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. I believe that this is also not only a literal and a physical river that's going to exist, that has not yet come, but it will, but it's also a very present reality in the Spirit. Jesus said, those who believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit to them who believe in him would later receive. Have we got the Spirit today? Are you possessed by the Holy Spirit of God today? Is the river in you? Well, we need to create a capacity for more of the river through worship. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Now, what is a marsh? What is a swamp? It's a place of stagnation, right? Where the water doesn't flow. It just sits there. It settles there. And eventually it gets gross, stinky. It's going to be given over to salt. Now, I don't want to get into all the types and shadows as to what the trees represent, what the fish represent, but I believe that you and I need to be in the river of God, first of all, and we need to be in the place where you are swimming in the presence of God so that your life will be directed and motivated by the love of God. Amen? And so we will avoid getting into the place of stagnation, of becoming a stale and an unproductive, unfruitful believer. In other words, an unbelieving believer. It doesn't matter what title we have. It's, are you bearing fruit? That's the question we need to ask. And it's impossible for us to bear fruit if we are not worshipers. If we are not worshipers, it's not going to happen. If you don't get radically connected with Jesus, I mean, you get hungry and you get thirsty for the very presence, the very, amen, face of God. When you get to that, and you get hungry, you start to pursue God, there is a release of the river. And wherever that river goes, there's going to be release of life. And wherever the life of God touches, it's going to live. And there comes a time when we worship and we praise and we honor God and we do whatever is pleasing to the Father and we walk patiently with Him and we keep our eyes off of man and keep our eyes on Jesus and we're going to follow Him whether nobody else is following Him. I'm going to follow Him because He is the author of life. He is the fountain of living waters. And when we follow Him and we hold on to Him and we worship Him and we seed heaven, eventually it comes. It comes. It will be released. The life of God will come. It will begin to reign in your life and the prayers that you've been praying for years will be answered. People will be getting saved. People will get healed. People will get delivered. My goal is to be so much in the river that I'm no longer striving. I'm no longer working. I'm just moving in rest and God's doing it. You see, it's the place of rest where we are through with our works, where God takes over. Yes. Step aside, son. I got it. I want you just to chill out. Beside the still waters here. Don't worry about your enemies. We'll have a banquet right in the midst of them. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you. Worship pleases the Father. He's honored. As we honor Him, as we speak well of Him, as we exalt Him, as we lift Jesus up, He will draw because the life of God will be released through that. How many of you are getting hungry already? Just want to start, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise your Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yeah, start lifting it, start offering it, start giving it. Give Him praise, give Him thanks continually, amen. Hallelujah, I'll bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's work at that. Let's practice that. Let's start doing it. Hallelujah. Keep the devil out. Kick him out. Through worship, listen, we enter into the realm of the Spirit. We must worship until we die to ourselves. The biggest problem we face as the people of God, and the reason why there are so many problems within the churches is because Christians are not dying to themselves. Because we operate in the flesh. Yeah. And then there's jealousy. You know? There's selfish ambition. There's envy. Then there's a focusing on what somebody else is doing or not doing. Then there's the judgmental spirit. Oh, they're sick because they got sin in their life. You know? And the church lady, you know, thing. You ever seen the church lady, you know? I think it was Brother Larry was saying that he heard somebody saying one time that, you know, I can deal with the Christians. It's those church people. He's right. God delivers from religion. We are simply to walk with Jesus and get together, amen, and exhort and encourage and build up and give praise to Him together corporately. Celebrate the life of the Lord. You keep sowing in the Spirit and eventually you're going to reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. Now, we've always used that in a negative connotation most of the time, amen. We're talking about, well, brother, you reap what you sow. And it's usually because somebody's being a knucklehead, right? And we're just rubbing it in their face. You're going to reap what you sow. Well, what about the other way? What about sowing and reaping good things? Be busy with sowing and reaping good things so you don't have time for the bad thing. For whatever a man sows, that we will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh nature will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then verse 9 says, let us not grow weary, for in due season, that means whatever is due you must come to you. What is due to you? That which you've been sowing. And the problem is we sow a little bit, we give a little bit, we pray a little bit, we worship a little bit. Ain't nothing happening. I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. Come on. And we get impatient in the process. How many know the process is important? Because the process is building character. It's building your spiritual muscles. It's causing us to go deeper. And as we go deeper, and usually because we're getting weaker, we go deeper. And when we go deeper, we receive what? Strength from the Lord. We become strong in the Lord. And when we're filled with Jesus, the evidence will be clear. There should be evidence. If we have true faith, there will be substance, there will be evidence. If anyone thirsts, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And again, the Holy Spirit, he collects your worship. He collects your prayers. He collects your praise. He collects your thanksgiving. He collects and receives as worship your obedience to his instruction. Because when we begin to worship, God begins to release revelation to us. And He begins to speak to us. And He begins to show us the way that we're supposed to walk. And if we will do the assignment that He gives us, it will lead to another assignment that will open another door, that will open another door. And before you know it, you're just learning how to walk in the Spirit. And you're seeing God do miracles all the time. Am I right, Brother Cliff? How many want the miracles of God just constantly showing up in your life? If you can get a hold of this today and keep it in the bank and act upon it, it will change your life. It will change. I guarantee it will change your life. If you become a worshiper of God, it will change everything. Even when you're going through difficulty, you worship God. And God accepts that. God is in the sacrifice. Especially when you worship Him in the difficult time. God is paying attention. Have you considered my servant Job? And if we do what He tells us to do, oh God, the little assignment, you may not see anything right now. But when God lets that thing go, when He turns that bowl back over, watch out. Amen. So our prayer, our worship from this place even, is not in vain. If we don't quit, we get our eyes off what people do and get our eyes on what God is doing and keep them there. Amen. And if you see a brother or sister stumbling or drifting, pray for them, encourage them to come back. Because the enemy is fighting us because he hates what's He doesn't want to see it come to fruition. And you know what? There is nothing that's going to stop the move of God unless you and I abort it by unbelief. Unless you and I quit or give up. Abandon ship. So many churches have dissolved because they abandoned ship. Because they started getting their eyes off Jesus and they started looking at what so-and-so is doing. And so-and-so's leaving. And so-and-so's disgruntled. And so-and-so's got a problem. Guess what? When the glory of God comes, it's going to stir up a bee's nest. Every time. Why? That's a good sign. It's because the enemy's mad. And people get bent out of shape when the glory comes. They get very uncomfortable. Because the light's coming on. It's like, you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, I forgot something in my car. Instead, I want to say, wow, if I'm a mess, God fix me. I can't fix myself. Why run from the one who loves you? He's only got good in store for you. He doesn't convict us without giving us the grace to repent as well and to be free. Hallelujah. You want to be free from your addiction? God can do it. Am I right? You just got to be honest. And you got to be sincere. Sometimes we go with a kind of half heart about it. Well, yeah, I've got this addiction. And would you pray for me? I've been prayed, this is the 120th time, but would you pray for me again? It's like, man, when you get to the place where it's like, I am through with being a punk for the devil. I am going to pursue God. And this thing is going to be broken off my life. And I know in my own life when I came to the place where I was done, I had repented, you see. I was done, I had repented. When I was through with that, that God set me free. And I didn't even have any, I didn't have to go through detox or anything. I'm not saying it works the same way with everybody, but God set me completely free supernaturally because he saw the heart. And I find in most cases, it's that little thing that we want to hold on to that keeps us bound up. It's the little things that we want to hold on to that we don't want to let go of. All to you, I surrender. That's where it's at. Worship. Worship. Worship the Lord. We talked about in Sunday school with the kids. I went down and spent a few minutes with them. And about, you know, how we just get so excited about things that are just, you know, a game, a ball game. And Christians come to church and yawn, you know. When we should be shouting, celebrating Jesus and giving Him our highest praises. I mean, people, they tear their shirts off, they wear war paint, they, you know, they shout till their voice is gone at a piece of pigskin, you know, flying through the air. You've all heard that. And we come to church and we're like, time is it. God, have mercy on us. That is idolatry. You are making a sport more important than the King of Glory. The one who died for you. The one who deserves. Who's worthy of all praise. You see, we quit praising Him when we start becoming unthankful. When we forget, we stop praising Him. I want you to think about it. When we become truly, and we may say with our mouths, but when we start to really become unthankful, then the praise begins to stop. Because when God does something in your life, the first thing that comes to your heart is, thank you, Jesus. And then what? Hallelujah. Thanksgiving, praise. So we got to stay in that place of gratitude, reflecting, remembering. That's why God gave them the ordinance of communion, right? To remember Passover. So we would not forget what the Lord has done for us in purchasing our salvation. One more thing. Worship keeps us from entering into temptation. Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. In other words, you're going to be tempted. And the reason why sin is a temptation is because sin is tempting. Revelation, right? It wouldn't be a temptation unless it is what? Tempting. Sin looks good. Would you agree? So Jesus said, rise, verse 46, rise and pray to his disciples lest you enter into temptation. In other words, you're either going to enter in at that point, you're going to enter into God's presence and into His grace and into His provision to give you the power, the strength to say no, or you're going to yield to your flesh, because if you allow your flesh to rule and you do not worship, you do not pray, then you will easily yield or give in and enter into the sin. And of course, we know what the result of sin is. Death. So we are to worship to keep ourselves, amen, out of the enemy's camp and keep him out of us. Because he's looking for a way to get in all the time, isn't he? You have to live above your sin. And the only way to do that is to worship God. They that wait upon the Lord
shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. We soar above that place, only in the Spirit. It's not going to be done because I have a lot of willpower. People have bought into that lie. They have been deceived by that. Many Christians who, in a time when things are going well, they forget God and they forget to pray, they forget to come into fellowship, they forget to give thanks to God, and the next thing you know, we start to get haughty. And haughtiness is revealed to us because no longer do we give praise to Him, no longer do we ask God for help, no longer do we realize that He is our source of life. Now we are depending on ourselves and our own wisdom and our own ability to take care of ourselves. And so we break out the plastic and we start just doing that and whatever else. And when the test comes, amen, instead of running to God and waiting on God and being patient in the process, we get, like Saul, we run out and we quickly go for a quick fix. How many have really regretted a lot of those quick fixes now? Uh-huh. Worship protects us from getting into that. Good things can be temptations too. Remember, Jesus wasn't tempted with bad things in the wilderness. He was tempted with good things. The problem was it was the wrong source, the wrong master. And Jesus knew better, and he wouldn't bow to it. He knew Jesus was hungry. He said, well, command these stones to be made bread. Why don't you just have a quick fix here? The devil will offer you a quick fix. Well, the church is having a little problem right now. I think I'll just run over here. Quick fix. And guess what? A little while later, you're running into the same problem over there. So you run over here. Guess what? Quick fix. And after a while, you're running around the wilderness just like the people of Israel, right? Going around in circles. And you're never ever getting into the place God wants you because you're not in your assignment, because you've got your eyes on what people are doing rather than what God is doing. Hallelujah. When you read this book, we study this precious word. It should always, the fruit of that should always abound to worship. To worship God. Amen? To have an encounter with Him who is eternal. A real relationship with the Lord. Amen? Not just so we can, you've heard it said many times, so that I can be smarter than you and know more of the Scripture than you do and make myself feel good. And I'm a little bit more spiritual than you because I know more than you. Anybody ever been caught up in that before? Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Now, should we study the Scriptures? Absolutely. Why do we study? We search for Him in the Scripture. I'm getting really loud here. I hope I'm not blowing your ears out. But we seek beyond the sacred page, as the old song goes. Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Oh! That's who I want. That's who you want. That's what people are looking for when they come through the church doors. They're looking for Jesus. They're not looking for entertainment. Oh, the preaching was good, brother, and the music was good, but where was Jesus? May it never be said of us, amen. People should have an encounter with God when they come here. And we should already be prepared when we come. We should have already sowed the seed, amen, and worship and praise, and already built up the cloud of glory around us. So then when we come together, there's an explosion in the Spirit. Don't come here and just say, what can I get out of it? It's like, what can I give away today? Because I've already prepared myself to come and minister to others. Jesus said, I did not come to be ministered to, but to minister to others. Amen. Give my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know I love you? God loves us enough to tell us the truth. You know that? Worship to the Father, when we get into this word, it's obedience, it's thanksgiving, it's prayer, it's intercession, it's praise. Amen? That's worship to Him that He accepts.
said this morning, but listen to this. Nothing leaves heaven, amen, until something first leaves earth. God so loved the world. He made the first move. But after that, He says, now I give you the keys. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's given us the access keys. And we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We come before Him with singing. We access the throne of grace. For what reason? So that heaven will invade earth as we offer praise to God, as we give thanks to God, as we delight ourselves in the Lord. The time comes when He gives you the desires of your heart. That's a promise. When you are a worshiper of God and you sow your love to God the Father, you sow into heaven, amen? And you bring this sweet fragrance of praise and thanksgiving into the throne of God, there comes a time when it comes up before Him, catches the attention of the Father. And when the Father's got His eyes on you, hallelujah, and the favor of the Lord begins to be released in your life, even though you may have gone through hell for a season. Watch out, because it's always darkest just before the dawn. And when the dawn comes and the Lord begins to just pour it out, and He is, and He's going to bring a greater measure, but you're going to have to go through some fire. You're going to have to go through some trials. But give you of good cheer. Jesus is the overcomer. Your life is in His hand. He knows all about it. He's just getting you to go deeper. And when you go deeper, you're going to receive greater blessing, greater revelation. And with revelation comes instruction. With instruction comes direction. And with the direction, now I know that I'm in the will of God. And when I walk with Jesus, there will be a manifestation of the invisible kingdom of God on the earth. We have signs, we have wonders, we have miracles. Amen? People are getting healed. People are getting set free. That is the kingdom of heaven invading earth and destroying what? The works of the devil. We talked about this before, but the dedication of the temple of Solomon in chapter 5 and verse 13 of 2 Chronicles, it says, indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, well, I don't believe in all that stuff, brother. He is good and His mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord did what? Filled the house of God. What was it? It was worship. It was seeding heaven, seeding the clouds. And eventually there's going to be a cloud burst. We're not going to be saying it's already beginning to rain. We're saying that now it's beginning to rain, but it's going to pour. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And there are those who are going to be there and those who are not. There are those who are keeping their eyes on Jesus. They don't want to miss out on the move of God. I heard Brother Dick Williams, and he came. He says, I want to take care of myself, because he says, I want to be around for this move of God that's coming. Amen? And we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, regardless of how it looks. The enemy's going to pick off a few along the way, but we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. And the Lord said, I will build my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If we allow God to do it, and we can enter into rest, hallelujah, the work is over. It is the battle belongs to the Lord and not to us. What can we do anyways except worship Him and say, thank you, Jesus? Simply ask. Ask. And then be patient. Let us not become weary in well-doing. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How are we going to do that? Through worship. Intimacy in the Spirit with the Lord. Praise, thanksgiving, adoration, waiting on God, listening for His voice. When the instruction comes, act upon it. You see, what happens is God releases into the unseen world around us. How many know the kingdom of heaven is at hand? It's among us right now. And as we pray and we ask for things, God already releases them. They're right here. What we need to do is then say, God, what are you doing? And if God says, I want to heal somebody with a back problem, then we need to call that out and say, right now, God's healing somebody with a back problem. And that is in alignment with heaven. And God says, boom, there it is. It's released. He's asking us to release it by faith. Why? Because He gave us the authority on the earth realm. Right? I give them dominion. And that hasn't changed. So Jesus Himself came, amen, to solve the problem. And now He represents us as our high priest. And so when we come to the Father, we're coming in the name of Jesus the Son, who is representing us, whoever lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for you. So don't think, well, there's another prayer, probably nothing going to happen. No, come in confidence, come in faith, believe God, He loves you. Just be patient in the process. I could preach all day, I'm not going to, but... You see, what happens sometimes is we just get caught up in, wanting the instant gratification sometimes. Our society's just kind of geared that way now. It's hard to find committed people, especially young people today. No sense of, commitment anymore. You don't like it, just throw away, get another one. Throw away society, But that ain't going to happen in the Lord, in the Spirit. Because it's too precious and too valuable. It's not cheap. And there is a price. It is to present our bodies to God and to be a vessel of worship, to be a priest unto God, and to pray for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done. And as we do that and we wait on God's time, the Bible tells us in Acts that there are seasons of refreshing, times of refreshing, in seasons of His visitation from the presence of the Lord. And you miss out on it if you get your eyes on people and get them off God. Because there's some people that need to be here this morning. There are some people that had no other choice. We bless them anyways. Amen? They couldn't be here for different reasons. But there are some people that needed to be here. This was their assignment today. And someone said it was a Sunday night when Jesus appeared to His disciples. And guess who wasn't there? Thomas. I'm not saying you can't be here. You have to be here tonight, but I would like to see you. No judgment. No condemnation. Just listen to God. What I'm saying is be in your assignment. Be where you're supposed to be. Because there's hunger in this house. And I know we're all like hungering. God, just let it go, Lord. Let the glory come in a greater measure, because we know when you're impacting, this place and this city, it's got a sovereign move of God going on in it. Amen? Because we're seeding the clouds and we're worshiping God. And eventually God's going to say, Shelton, Washington, it's your time of my visitation. Oh, it's already beginning, folks. It's happening. It's happening in the Spirit. God is breaking stuff off people all the time. But we've got to not be weary. We've got to continue to press in. We need to be at the altars. We need to be in prayer. Amen. When we come together, let's be up here. Let's be in prayer. Ushering in the presence of the Lord by seeding the clouds. That cloud burst comes. Hallelujah. I don't want to be, it's like Brother Chuck. He says, man, it seems like every time I miss a service, something good happens. Well, I think something good is happening every service, actually. And I don't want to miss it. And one of these days, it's gonna be beyond. Because when God moves, it's beyond what we could ask or think. Now, everybody should have said amen to that. Because faith is saying it's coming. Faith is saying that if we do not get weary and we do not quit and we do not throw in the towel and we do not abort our assignment, amen, we don't go AWOL. But we stand in the trenches and we dig our heels and say we are not giving any more ground to the enemy. We are taking it back in Jesus' name. Because God is for us. And God is with us. And because of that, who can be against us? We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We haven't seen anything yet. So please, commit to the assignment that God has given you. Be faithful. We need people to be faithful tithers too, by the way. We need people to be faithful to just this work, because you know as well as I do that this did not happen by accident. This whole thing was a miracle from God. And it's a miracle from God because God has ordained that this will be. And the prayers over the years have not been in vain as well. So we need to call back some of them that have been out there. They've been battle scarred and they're beat up. And we need to call them back and say, hey, come on. It's victory time. It's celebration time. We rejoice in hope. In other words, we're celebrating today the victory has already been won. We're declaring today what God has already promised. And what is coming? It's coming, folks. Wow. I better just hang it up right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I get